Earlier this morning, there's no place that I would rather be. It's been just marvelous for Carmen and me to get to be here with you all. What an amazing church, warm and sincere and authentic. We love Steve and Kim Sapp. It has been great to be with them. We've had a wonderful time. I think they were a little bit relieved to see us packing our suitcases this morning. I think they were probably wondering, when do you think these guys are going to... You know, they say if you host too well, you know, people will want to stay longer than you really want for them to. But it's been just great to be here and to get to be a part of the married retreat. If you want to turn together, we'll be in Matthew chapter 28. Carmen and I retired about 3 years ago, and we still basically do mostly the same things that we did before. Very involved in Latin missions, and thank God we have a big Bible talk in our condominium. In fact, we might have a slide here that we might be able to show. So that's our condominium building right in the middle there, 21 floors, and then you see the other buildings right there. We live out on an oval-shaped block about yay big, and as you look at it from this perspective. And we have our own Publix, our own Walgreens, tennis courts, pickleball courts. Our building shares a wall with a par 3 golf course, so we walk to all of those places. And I mean, we are really retired. So Carmen asked me the other day. She said, "Honey, what are you going to do today?" And I said, "Nothing." And she said, "Well, that's what you did yesterday." I said, "I know, but I didn't finish." On Thursday mornings, there's a group of about 60 men and women who play in a golf scramble right there at our building on our little par 3 course. There are 13 holes there, and you draw a card to see which three people you're going to play with, because we play in foursomes. And so I figure that gives me three or four holes with each one of my teammates to get to walk with them down the fairway and share my faith with them. Amen. And invite them up for lunch and a Bible study that we have right afterwards. And it is just amazing how many of them go, "Wow, you guys do that? Yes, I'll come." And I'm like, "You will, really?" And so I show them which door we go in. And so we have about 30 or 35 of our friends who come to our Bible study, our lunch and Bible study. They don't all come at the same time. That would be tough. But there are usually about 20 or 25 of us there. We just love them. They're just amazing. It's just marvelous. And so we've been doing that for about a year and a half. And we decided, well, we need to do something to help them, you know, a little farther along here spiritually. And so the next slide is that is a pavilion. So you see our building. There's one building behind it, and then the building back to the right is our building again. And so this is our pavilion, and on Friday nights we have concerts here. But on Saturday nights it's not used for anything. And so I wrote a proposal to the city manager and made an appointment with him to go and ask him if we could have a worship service here every Saturday night. And it's $200 to rent it on Saturday night. He said, "You know what, Martin?" He said, "That sounds like a really good thing." He said, "I don't want to charge you anything." He said, "That sounds good. Go for it." And so our first Saturday night to do that will be Saturday night, the 6th of October. So if you can pray for us, that'll be great. But the pavilion seats about 175 people. And so we're already thinking, you know, what are we going to do when that's filled to capacity, you know, for other meetings there. But people in our neighborhood are so open and so warm, and God is just blessing in such a great way. And I just wanted to share a little bit about that with you and ask for your prayers, as Carmen and I will be praying for the Northview Church. We just, we just feel like part with you guys, just being here one weekend. And it's been great being able to meet so many of you. I got to meet Mike, and that was really cool. You know, I just wanted to say that, see what kind of confusion. I've never met so many Mikes in one church before. and Jim, Mike and Jim, you know. It's got to be confusing when somebody doesn't use a last name there. But it has been marvelous. You guys have really made us feel right at home. So the title of our message today is Like a River. Matthew 28, Jesus says, taken our sins, all of our sins, yours and mine, the sins of the whole world, to the cross. He's left those sins in the grave, and he's been raised from the dead, and he's come to speak to his disciples one more time. In verse 18, Matthew 28, 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know, and I have to remember regularly that I want Jesus to have the authority in my own life, because my temptation is to be my own authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. You know, I'll read this verse with a friend, and I'll ask him, so who can we baptize? And they'll go, everybody. And I'll go, well, what does it say? I mean, kind of, yes, hopefully, that's right. But specifically, it says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this is very, it was foreign to me the first time I heard it, so I understand why it is to others. My thought was that you're born into the church. Okay, as I grew up, I was born into my grandmother's and my mom's church, and my mom was a choir director. And I'm living proof that that musical abilities are not hereditary. So that was just my idea. You're born into the church, and you're born into this church or that church, and that's it, and there you are. And so the notion of being born again was really new to me. Even though Jesus says in John chapter 3 that to enter the kingdom of heaven, one must be born again. Then you think about it, that's amazing. Wow, to be able to start all over again? Oh, that's incredible. And so, thank God, 46 years ago, I was born again. Right? I was a kindergarten student, and I was a student at the University of Florida. Okay, and was born again. And so, if you're visiting with us today, there's something really special. There are many things special about this church. But one is that the members here were not born into the kingdom of God. They were born again. And so someone sat down and actually studied with them and helped them to decide to become a disciple of Jesus, which really is a new life, and to strive to turn away from that which was sinful and negative in their own lives, and now to really strive to fix their focus on Jesus and on God's word. And so then they were, as a new disciple, they were baptized. And at that point, they were born again, and all their sins were washed away. And they received God's spirit to live in them. And they became part of God's spiritual kingdom, part of God's family. And so as a result of the fact that somebody sat down and studied that out with them, they now are able and would love to sit down and study that out with you. And so right here in this church, you have friends who know the Bible that well and who care that much about you because somebody cared that much about them, that they would love to get to pass this on to you, and they know how to do that. And you can ask all of your really hard questions. And a lot of times they're going to go, well, here's what the Bible says. Other times they're going to go, man, that's a really good question. I've never thought of that. I have no idea. But we'll study it out, and we'll see what the Bible says about it. So Jesus tells us to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he's commanded us, and surely he will be with us. He will be with us as we go out. And that's good news, isn't it? Because it's kind of scary to share our faith, isn't it? It really, because we don't know what kind of reaction we'll get. You know, and I think, you know, one concern is, and by the way, I think about these guys over here. Guys, thank you for being a light in your schools and in your neighborhoods. What a great thing you're doing there. That's awesome. Okay. But it can be a little bit scary to go and share our faith. It really can. I think that's because Satan himself hates it that someone else is going to become a child of God. That someone else is going to have this amazing life and eternal life. And so he makes it sort of scary. And he'll go, what is this going to do to my reputation when people find out that I'm so serious about Jesus? And, you know, if I can set you free just a little bit there, your reputation is probably not all that awesome anyhow, okay? So, but the great news is, again, that Jesus will be with us. And so here's what we're going to talk about. What are our motives? Why do we share our faith, okay? And so the first one is because Jesus has asked us to do it. And we do so out of obedience, and it's our privilege to get to do so. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's turn together. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 3 says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Okay? And so God wants our neighbors and our co-workers and our classmates to be saved. He loves them personally, and he loves them deeply. He loves them with an everlasting love. He loves them with an unfailing love. Psalm 103, verse 8 says he loves them with an abounding love. So no boundaries to his love. There's no one that he doesn't love. And there's nothing, by the way, that you and I could do wrong that would cause him to love us less. In fact, on our worst days, we need his love more, don't we? And it's there. His love is always there. Okay, and so for the first reason that we overcome maybe that fear that can be in there a little bit to share our faith is we get to do it for God because it pleases him for people to be saved. Okay, that's our first motivation. Our second is because we care about those who surround us. We love our neighbors. Let's look in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Verse 34. Since hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." You know, you think about that notion of loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is exactly how he loves you. Did you ever thought about that before? He loves you with all of his heart and with all of his psyche, his soul, and with all of his strength. He has that kind of love for you. And he's just asking you to strive to reciprocate. And you can't come close to loving him as much as he loves you. But he knows that's when you're going to have your best relationship with him. Okay, so he really wants that for you, to love him in a manner that he loves you. This is the first and greatest commandment, verse 38. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, and so the first motive to share our faith is our love for God. And we know it pleases him when we do that. And the second is because we love our neighbor as ourselves. So let me give you an example. Let's say we've all been out doing a hope event. We've been out reaching out all day, it's Saturday, all day long, maybe to orphans or maybe to homeless people, to people who really need, and just kind of be in the hands and feet of Jesus to them all day, and someone's worked out a great program for us to go do, or maybe we're building homes for them and doing carpentry and painting, what have you, and I mean, it's hot and we're tired, and we all decide to go out together for pizza. And I mean, we're hungry. We're starving. And so we get there, and we're talking about what a great day it's been, and we're really hungry, and we can smell the pizza, you know, and we're it's just really an awesome time. And they bring out the pie. You know, they bring out this great big, you know, maybe with pineapple and anchovies on it, you know, everybody's favorite there. And no. But they bring it out, and they put it down right next to you, and all the plates are right there, and you're sitting at a long table, and you're supposed to put some on a plate and pass it down. And so you take the plate right off the top, and you find the piece pizza right there with the most toppings on it, and you put it on your plate, and you start chowing. And everybody's looking at you like, really? Wow. You know, and you're just into it. Man, that hot cheese is down your chin and stuff. And you got, oh, man, isn't this awesome pizza? Wow. Okay, well, if I have found Jesus, if I found this amazing relationship with God, and I'm not passing him on to my neighbors and my coworkers, and family members and friends and those who surround me, isn't that a whole lot worse than just chowing on that pizza for myself? Okay, and so the notion is in life, right? You find the finest piece on there with the most topping, and you put that on a plate and you pass it down. And you pass all of them down. And finally, at the end, you know, if there's still a crumb left for you, great. You know, if not, you're just happy that you got to serve others, right? Okay. And so... the first reason that we want to share our faith, share good news, and help others to get saved is because we know that pleases God and we love him. And the second reason is because with God's help, we're really learning to love our neighbors. Amen? All right. Good. Our third motivation is because as disciples of Jesus, that means we're followers of Jesus. So we are striving to imitate Jesus. And in Luke chapter 19, all right, you guys with me here?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Good. I want to check every now and then. And this is where Jesus has gone to the home of Zacchaeus, you remember? And has gone and shared with Zacchaeus. In verse 9 of Luke 19, Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And that's exactly what I was as a sophomore at the University of Florida. Though I grew up in a religious family, And had been to church all my life, and again, thought I was born into church, I had not been born again. And so I was lost. I didn't realize that Jesus was my perfect example. I didn't realize that the Bible is so amazing that I would come one day to read it every day, and have read it essentially every day for the last 46 years. And that every day it's new, and it's fresh, and it's life-changing. And it connects me a little bit more with the Father. And it helps me a little bit more as a husband and as a dad and as a friend. But I didn't know all that. I was lost. And so Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And so as his disciples, that's what we do, isn't it?
Yep.
As his followers, as his apprentices, as his imitators, and as his representatives in this lost world, we get to share our faith about him. We get to pass him on. We get to pass him down the table to everyone with whom we have the opportunity. And so our motives are our love for God, our love for our neighbor, and our imitation of Jesus. Okay? So secondly, how do we share our faith? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7b. The Apostle Paul is writing back to the church in Thessalonica, where he had previously gone to share his faith. And he says, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." Okay? So one of the great ways that we get to share our faith is really just with a lot of love. Yeah. And you know, that's so different than what people in the world think. They go, "Oh, you're going to I've heard this phrase, beat people over the head with the Bible. And, you know, and I try to envision that. I really can't see that. Beat people over the head. Okay, or scare people. How are you scaring people when you tell them God loves you so much? Okay, and you've got this whole eternity with him. Okay, so no, those are misconceptions. We share our faith with love. And for Carmen and me, this is really tough, but somebody has to do this. They're where we live as retirees. That means playing golf with people. And tennis and pickleball, which is like little tennis, okay, for older people, right? Okay. And going to the beach and, you know, the gym and hanging out at the pool with them and playing dominoes at night and going to concerts in the pavilion. And, you know, it's really tough, but I respect you, honey. You know, you're really good at this. Okay. All right. And so the way we do it really is a lot about just being there for people. And being friends and being open and being vulnerable and the people in our building and in our neighborhood are so dear to us. They're so amazing. We love them so much and they love us right back. Okay? All right, but so how do we share our faith? Number one, with love. Number two, with courage. In Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and that didn't come out. Acts 4 and verse 13. Let's see. So let's look in verse 12. This is where Peter and John are sharing their faith. Now, as Jesus has asked them to do, go out and make disciples and baptize him. And so in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, they say, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we might be saved. So Jesus is unique as Savior because through Jesus, God comes down to us. Okay, and normally in religion, people attempt to ascend to God intellectually. But through Christ, God actually comes to us. And then Jesus sets us a perfect example. And then Jesus doesn't rule his lordship over us, but he actually dies for us to save us and to connect us with him. So Jesus is way unique, okay, as our Savior. And so no other name under heaven by which men might be saved. And then in verse 13 it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And so we share our faith with courage. Yep. And we have to pray and we have to trust in God and we have to overcome that fear. One of the places that I play golf is called Spruce Creek Fly-In. And it's where people live on the golf course. And instead of garages, they have airplane hangars. And they fly in. John Travolta used to live there and would fly in his 707, okay, it's a big runway, and there's a golf course out there, and sadly, from time to time, I'd say every few months, there's a plane crash out there, okay, and there was one recently, and there were two people in the plane, and the plane was on fire, okay, and one of my worst fears, and I'm not going to go into the details, is being badly burned. That's a fear of mine. Right? And so the neighbors risked that possibility of being burned and rescued the two people from the plane, and they survived, the pilot and the passenger. Okay? They did that with courage. They saved those people with courage. And so if you and I are going to save people from their lostness, it's going to take, number one, love. But it's also going to take courage, okay, because Satan himself is going to be there to make it challenging. He will lose because God always wins. And who goes with us as we go out to share? Well, God. Jesus is there. Jesus is right there with us, okay? So number one, we do it with love. And number two, we do it with courage. And number three, we share our faith with with urgency. And this also is in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And this is the first gospel sermon that is ever preached after Jesus was raised from the dead. And most of you guys know the word gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion, and it means good news. So this is the first good news sermon after Jesus is raised from the dead, and Peter is preaching it, and he's preaching it to Jewish people who had had the prophecies in the Old Testament to prepare them for the salvation that Jesus would bring. And he says in verse 36 of Acts 2, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.'" So we see his urgency. "With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." Okay, I have a rhetorical question for you. Were Peter not to have warned and pleaded, would 3,000 people have been baptized? Now, I know what I think the answer is. Were he not to have warned and pleaded, would those 3,000 people have been saved? Okay. And so I need to include, along with love and courage, I need to include urgency in my outreach. It's like those people were urgent with the crash victims. They didn't have time to wait for 911. They didn't have time for the fire truck. Those people were in a burning plane. And so it required courage and urgency to help them out. Okay, Carmen and I live with retirees. That means older people. That means starting with me, I'm an older people. Okay, it means I don't have a whole lot of time left to share my faith. I have this one last run to help as many people go to heaven as I possibly can. All right, and we go to a number of memorial services there where we live. We have four ladies who live on our floor who have lost their husbands, most of them rather recently. Okay, so there's not a lot of time there. So we have to be urgent. You and I don't know how long we're going to work at that job or how long those neighbors are going to live in that neighborhood, and we don't even know how long any of us are going to live. Okay, so we share our faith with love, with courage, and with urgency. Amen?
Amen.
All right. In John chapter 7, and we'll bring this in for a, speaking of aviation, we'll bring this in for a landing. John 7, verse 37. And we sang about this in our first and second songs that we sang together this morning. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit. Okay, and so the idea there is that God's Spirit lives in you. God has chosen you because he knew that you were just the right person to help so many other people around you to be saved. And he fills you with his Spirit. And the Spirit should flow from within us. Like that deluge we had last night. Okay, I'm thinking Niagara. And so a question for us to ask ourselves at this point, does he flow from us like Niagara? Or is he from us maybe just a trickle or a drip? Well, that's really just up to us, because he's there ready to flow. And it's God's will for him to flow. And he will flow. And I believe he will really begin to flow from you and from me. Amen? So, please pray for us in Daytona that he will flow like Niagara. And Carmen and I will be praying for you at Northview. And may we do this because God loves us, and we love him, and we love Jesus, and we love our neighbors, and may we do so with love and courage and urgency that God will give us through his Spirit who flows from us. Amen. God bless.